Oh.
I mean, I'm recording some progress again. Can everyone hear me? Am I doing the clicking thing again?
Yeah, a little bit.
I actually hear you fine this time.
Did I switch to the phone?
Leave it like this. This sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Sounds good, but I did hear a click or two, but.
Okay, let's see what happens. We've been looking at Tehillim specifically at Hallel right now. We're in this, taking a break from the story of David. We finished basically the narrative parts of Shmuel. We have the appendices, the last four parakim, which will go back through some of the stories and serve as the introduction to Sefer Melachim. But I want to look at Lehallel Lehodot, especially connected to Hanukkah, and we've been looking at Hallel, and we're on the paragraph of Tehillim. Let's go back to the gate over here. All right. Which we said this basically is, as opposed to the rest of Hallel, which is talking about how great God is and how you, my audience, right, the psalmist is talking to an audience, Hallel et Hashem, you need to praise God. This is first person, Ahad Tiki Yishma, and it's all about the Karbanot. David is bringing a Karban, he was in great danger, Afafuni Chavei Mavet, and then it is Nidarai Lashem Hashalim, I will bring my Nidarim, and I will bring my Luchaz Bech Zevar Toda, I'll bring my Karban Toda. It's all about the Karbanot. But the theme of it, which keeps coming around, is this line of Uvishem Hashem Ekra, and I will call out to God. That's fundamentally what the Karbanot are there for. It's not about the sacrificing animals. We have the example of the Avot, where they built a Mizbeach, and it was all, doesn't say anything about their brilliant Karbanot. It says, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, by Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, all over and over again. But that's what he's doing here. Basically, this is his prayer as he's bringing his Karbanot. I bring my Karbanot to God. I call it to God. He saved me, and I call out to God. And
the noise is starting again, Danny.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little, Danny.
Okay, well, I'll do this. I'm going to switch to phone audio. Let's see, this usually works.
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound. Enter your participant ID. You are in the meeting now. There are 5 participants in the meeting. This meeting is being recorded.
Okay. So now I'm on the phone, which puts a little bit off of the video. So it's, I think you can hear me better, but you look like a badly dubbed movie. Okay. So let's go over here. So with the point we were is the point that basically we skip the first half of this parak when we're saying half hollow. Truly, because it's also negative. It's all the bad things that happened then. It's not about the Hallel. Thank you, God. Here's what I'm going to do now that you've saved me. That's what Hallel is. Right, we proclaim Hashem's greatness, and that it starts with Ma'ashiv Hashem, Kol Tagmuli Halai. What can I do for you, God? All everything that you've done for me. And then Kos Yishur Esa. I will lift the cup of salvation, Uvishem Hashem Akra, which you talked about. We're going to call out in God's name, the right of Hashem Hashem, and I will fulfill my neder, which is referring to the Karbanot. Negda na, and not here means not please, but now. Negda na al-chomo, before everyone, in public. I'm going to do these 3 things in public, which are Kos Yishor Asa, Shem Hashem Akra, the right of Hashem Hashem. And we've talked about the Shem Hashem Akra, the Karbanot, which brings us closer. That's what a Karbanot is all about. But I want to look at this Kos Yishor Asa. So this is interesting. What's the raise? Everyone, raise your glass. Now, Phyllis is doing it right because it's wine. Obviously, we're talking about this is the Kos Shel Bracha, which comes up in a lot, you know, a lot of mitzvot. And this is an interesting Gemara about this idea. What does it mean that he is saying, I am going to bring this up. And what's interesting is, of course, there's no mitzvah in the Torah about kosher bracha, about drinking wine with a mitzvah, even though we all do it. All of our mitzvot are associated with wine. Mm-hmm. This is a Gemara. Deresh Rav Avira. This is a drasha that Rav Avira said. Zimnin Amar Le Mishmed Rav Ame, Zimnin Amar Le Mishmed Rav Asi. He quoted different rabbis in terms who originally said that. He would say, this is my drasha for Parshat Vayera, when Yitzchak was born, and it says that after he was born, Vaygdal Yelad, the big child grew up, Vaygamal, and he was weaned, and then Abraham made a Mishteh Gadol, Yom Higamal. Yitzchak made a great party when Yitzchak was weaned. This is the Midrash side of it. Atida Karsh Baruch Hu Lasa Su'udah LaTzadikim. That was a model for when Hashem is going to make a festive meal for all the tzaddikim. Yom Shegigmo Chastel Zaro Sheyitzchak, when he redeems all of us. Right? We've had this Sinsuda with the meat of Leviathan and Behemoth and all that. We've seen this idea of a great feast at the time of becoming Mashiach, metaphorically speaking. But this drasha, la'achar she'ochlin b'shotin, after they eat and they drink, notin la'Abraham avina kosa bracha levarech. And they say, Abraham, you're here, why don't you lead benching? For Omlahen, and Abraham says, I can't bench, she'etim meni Yishmael, because I wasn't perfect, my Yishmael was my children, I couldn't keep him within the family, I'm not worthy of leading benching for such an august crowd. So Omlahen Yitzchak, they ask Yitzchak to bench, the tool of Arech. He said, Esav, I have the same problem. I lost Esav. He wasn't part of, couldn't keep him within the mishpacha. I'm not worthy of benching. Omla Yaakov to Barach. We asked Yaakov, go and bench. Omlaham, Eimavarach, I can't lead benching. Because I married two sisters. That would be forbidden. Okay. I mean, when I did it, obviously there was nothing against it, but still it's a pagam. There's a fault in me. I don't feel worthy of benching. Omrali Moshe to Barach, Leas Moshe. I mean, as a Gabbai, I know exactly what this is like, right? Yes, you, David. Nope, I can't want to do it. You do it. And we're spending half an hour trying to get somebody up there, David. Right, David? We ask Moshe to lead benching to a Barach. Omrali Moshe says, no, any Mabarach, I can't do it. So the Chiti Likanes to Eretz Yisrael, Lo Bachayev, Lo Bumatik. I didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. Not when I was alive, I wasn't even buried there. Clearly there's a pagam, there's some kind of fault in me, I'm not worthy. And it goes on and on. Eventually, Omer el David, eventually they, Shem tells David to a brech, you'll be benching. I'm ahead, I need a brech. David says, I'll be benching. I'm fine. Believe not, Levar, I'm the right person to lead benching. So now, Marcos, you saw Esav, Hashem Ekra. It's nice, we take it seriously, but not literally. But the question is, what is, now, David obviously had lots of pagam, lots of faults. If you're following Rabbi Shulman, we have all the story of Bathsheba. Surely wasn't perfect. And what does it mean to see in David that he's the one who's going to lead Berkat Hamazon, not these other august characters? So this is a article by David Kochav. That's a Daf Yomi .com. It's looking at Daf Yomi on this as it's come up. Puts a very Kabbalistic spin on it. What are these people leading it, right? The Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, we got Aaron in there, you know, Kabbalah, and David. We know that list. That's the list of the Ushbizan on Sukkot. And David is the one who can lead benching. So here's where he puts it. Gosh, it's hard to understand this. Madua Chamer Yaakov mi David. Why, you know, Yaakov said, well, I can't lead benching in this midrash because I married two sisters, that was wrong, but that's certainly not nearly as bad as David. I said, Shuva, I called Basha Ishit Ish, Yisrael, right? David committed adultery. Yeah, he did Shuva, but still there's a pekam there. Why do we see David as being the one who can do this? Ella, Avira, but say that this Rabbi Avira, Manakara Shivat Haro'im Ushbizin. It's going through this list of Ushbizin, which correspond to the Sefirot. Yeah, they're in Kabbalistic, the ways Hashem manifests in the world. Rat David Nisham Makol. David is the one who finishes that list of the Sfirot, and specifically, Amar David Lina Elavarech, that I am the one who should bench. Kinishan Bo Tikun Kosha Bracha, I am the one who makes the Kosha Bracha possible. Shimidat HaMalchut, because that's Malchut, that's the last of the Sfirot, and that represents Knesset Yisrael, the community as a whole. Malchut HaKnikra Knesset Yisrael. Kabbalistically, that's what David represents. The king has to represent the people as a whole. That's what he's saying. Divrei Tchila Sefer Zohar, then we can quote the Zohar here. Rabbi Chizkiya Patach, Rabbi Chizkiya says, Kesher Shana Ben Achochim Kinra Yati Ben Abanot, M'shir Ashirim, that my beloved among all the other girls is like the rose among the thorns. My Shashan, what is this rose? The Knesset Yisrael, the Zohar says, this is the community of Israel. And then he quotes Koshu Esa, that Koshel Bracha. So whenever we have a Koshel Bracha, we raise our glass of wine in as part of a mitzvah. Then Koshel Bracha, Itzrichu Mehave Al Chamesh Etzvin, we have it surrounded by five fingers, symbolizing the community of Israel, which is this Shoshana. Kigavna the Shoshana, just like a rose, Yatve Al Chamesh Alan, surrounded by five petals. That's the image of, you've seen people hold up the coast for Kiddush on their palm, their hands, so you're surrounded by the fingers there. That's the symbolism that we are, that Koshel Bracha is a matter of celebrating with Hashem in public as part of the community. And that's what David symbolizes here. And I will add, Ein Lanu Esek Min Hasdarim. I don't know how to deal with all the Kabbalistic side of it, but the idea that Koshel Yisrael is part of the Knesset Yisrael is Negdad Nalach Olamo. The drinking alone is a bad thing. Right, Phyllis? As she's working hard there. Right, you're part of the community now. You're drinking with us. That's good. Drinking alone is bad medically. I'm sorry?
Not so sad.
Firstly, at the coast of Bracha, it's part of Hallel. It's meaningless to do it. Lifting a cup, basically a toast, by yourself. That's right. It has to be Negna Kolomo. We do have some examples of Kosha Bracha where we do it even if we're alone, which is like Kiddush and Abdallah, where we do it no matter what, but still they're missing something. This is the Zohar says that Kosha Bracha Lohevi Ela Bitzlata, that you need at least three. So if you're benching those three, all these examples of having a cup of wine. It has to be in public, it has to be with others. It's interesting.
Three men. May I interpose that?
I'm sorry?
You're requiring three men.
The Zohar doesn't say that, but I will, and certainly, you can bet with three women, though my very firm daughters won't do that.
That's true.
And again, what's interesting about it is that this Kosh Yishua Esav, this Kosha Bracha, is not a mitzvah d'oraita. In any circumstance, even the most absolute, like Kiddush, where you have to do it no matter what, the Torah never says anything about it. That is something that comes from the people. And it's for the people. It's part of this idea of Knesset Yisrael. Like the Gemara says, but Zachor Lima Shabbat, remembering Shabbos, there's a mitzvah d'oraita to mention Shabbos, right, when it goes in, when it goes out. The Kaddish shows Zachor Al Yayin. And the Gemara says, you have to say Kiddush over wine. And Tosa says there, near the Kiddush al Yayin Asmachtahi, that this comment that saying Kiddush on wine is Asmachtahi. In other words, not, the Torah doesn't say it. Chazal, the rabbi, saw a hint that, okay, this is a good thing, but not that it was required. Adamara Mishameto, Nashim Chayavot, the Kiddush Hayom Devar Torah, that women are Chayav in Kiddush. But Kiddush Hayom, they have to say the Kiddush of Yayin Lo Have Ela Midrabanan. But the cup of wine is only Midrabanan, as a general rule. And it's a mitzvah says on Gemara, so women not chayav in the wine of Kiddush, so not allowed to. And then there's the idea that you ain't omrim shira el Yayin, that we say shira, we say halal on wine. Anything happy goes on, we do a mitzvah, we don't do it on this cup of wine. How you know you say Shira on the wine? So it says, this is from Shoftim. Remember the story of Abimelech, who takes over and wants to be king. He's a son of Gideon. He slaughters all of his brothers. One of them survives. Yoram gives this long speech about how all the trees want to pick a king, and all the good trees have real jobs. The dates, the palm has, you know, gives off his date, doesn't want to be the king, and he ends up saying, finds that the thorn bush becomes king, without any reference to contemporary politics at all, but only those who really can't do anything else are going to become the king. That's Yoram's speech. But he says in there, the terminal hemageffen, part of this extended metaphor. The grapevine says, Hadalti et Tirashi, you want me to be king and stop baking my wine? I'm a Samech Elkim Banashim that makes man and people happy. We get the point that wine makes human beings happy. Elkim Baman Masamech, what do you mean makes God happy? But that's the way we say that. We say Shira when we're doing with Yayin, that's making God happy as part of a mitzvah, and we add wine to that. So literally, in terms of
We don't have wine when we say
Hallel,
do we?
Not sure, but specifically in the Seder, one of the kosot, we say over a cup of wine.
And that's all they're talking about, the Hallel of the Seder?
Well, no, we'll see that's not what they're talking about. What they're literally talking about is the karban. When you offer a karban, the Levim are singing Shira. Right, this is Sakamash. Ain Omrim Shira Bachil Zbeah, Gomak Tara Zikadami. That the part when they sing the Shira is the wine libation part. It's not when they're burning it, not when they're sprinkling the blood. That's the halachic side of Ain Omrim Shira Elayayin is talking about the Levium singing Shira with the wine libation. But we've taken that idea and we have the minhag of having wine at other celebrations, having wine at a wedding. Right, everyone, they drink the wine twice. We have it as part of, you know, Sheva Brachas. We do it at Brit Mila. All those celebrations, they have a cup of wine. That's part of this Ein Omrim Shira El Aliyayin. We've extended that. For instance, the Shulchan Aruch says by Brit Mila. Yom Kippur, we have Brit on Yom Kippur. No getting litin latina kanimo. You let the baby have some of the wine that day. You don't drink the wine on Yom Kippur. And the Taz on this has a problem. But wait, if you can have a kos of wine, you say a bracha on it, you should drink melo lugma, at least a mouthful. And the baby's not going to drink a mouthful of wine. The family service is going to get you if you try to give them that much wine. Oh, taste is okay. There's some of this case, that's when there's a drabbanan to have a coast like in Kiddush. But she ain't no el mitzach, ain't on Mashira el ayayin, because the idea that, well, we ain't on Mashira el ayayin, we celebrate with wine, then we have a minhag to have a cup of wine to Brit Mila, but it's not a mitzvah in any sense of the word. As the Tashbed says about it, lo nizkar b'shum makom me'a Talmud, lo kos yayin, lo birchei rusim nisuin. There's no mention of wine at weddings. Lo mila, lo pinya ben, lo mizkar b'kiddush. Okay, the kos yisur esa, this idea of the wine there, is not so much the will of Hashem, the will of Chazal. It's the folklorism. We do this. David's introducing this idea. Yeah, I'm going to pray to God and I'm going to offer a kabbana, but also celebrate with everybody together with a kos shel bracha. And that's the meaning of Knesset Yisrael. That's what David represents as well, the community. The things that we do because they're the things that we do that make us who we are when we do them. That's why we eat lakas on Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm. But again, why don't we have wine when we say Hallel? That's Shira, right?
Yes, I assume because we don't want to be drinking during davening, you know, in shul there.
Might be a good idea.
If I was gonna mention the idea of a kiddush club where you do, I would be wrong because you shouldn't be leaving to go out and drink. But such also is the folk religion of the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you propose that you should take it, you know, right before Hallel, everyone take a break and see how well that goes up. Thank you.
Well, we drink on Simchas Torah, we drink on Purim.
We do. And you know, and that's Simchas Torah is a good example of why we don't do it. Because like you don't do Birkat Kohanim and Simchas Torah Musa because we're afraid that the Kohanim have already been drinking during Kiddush beforehand. So we don't want them drunk on the davening. So there's a balance there, the dialect. Yeah, the time and place for having your ghost Yeshuot. When you're eating, that's part of it. Other simchas.
Danny, there was a time people used to drink wine because they couldn't trust the water.
That's true.
So it was much more common not to get drunk, but just to have liquid.
Yes, yes. Water is dangerous. Beer and wine are much safer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so now instead of adding alcohol to our water, we add chlorine, which is a lot less fun, I admit, but it's the same idea. And then the prayer continues with a very hard to translate line. It says, Yakar b'nei Hashem, ha-mavtel ha-chasidav. I'm going to translate that. It's precious. What does yakar mean? It's valuable when tzaddikim die. It's precious. What does that mean? Now, you say it all the time. And that idea, that this word yakar, occurs as well in Tila. And Perek Ayat Bet talks about the Dal ve'Evyo, mitavechu mechamas yigal nafsham, that Hashem will save the poor from deceit and from violence. The yikar damam ve'enav, their blood is yakar, valuable in God's eyes. What does that mean? Or yakar pidyon nafsham, that redeeming their life is precious, valuable, yakar. Chadal, v'chadal olam, and when they die, they're gone forever. So I like the way the JPS translated in Tehillim Mem Tet as being the price of life is too high.
Yakar, yakir is like treasure. Something special.
Right, but then what does it mean to say yakar is the maftal chasidav, the death of the righteous is yakar. That's what he's saying. What does that mean? It's precious. That's what I'm trying to say, is that God doesn't want his chassidim to die. That's what this whole parak has been, that David's life was in danger and God saved him. Because God values that. And that's part of the message of the Karbanot, is that God doesn't want us to sacrifice our lives then. Right? We want to do Kiddush Hashem. We're supposed to live in God's service, not die in it. And as the Ramban looks at the Karbonot as a whole, right? Tziva Hashem, that God commanded Karbonot kidei shi'ashav adam basot al ko'ela, that when people do a Karbon, you bring this animal, yiskatel elka, that you've sinned, b'gufo, b'nafsho, body and soul, for u'lo yishpoch damo v'yishrof gufo, that you should be punished, you don't deserve to live. U'le chesed aborein, that God doesn't want that to happen, Hashem wants you to live, shekach mimeno tumura. God accepts this as a replacement. You prepare carbon as there, she had demo tachet demo, that this carbon will be in place of the person's blood, nefesh tachet nefesh, and praise the life. That a carbon is, the idea of a carbon is to show ma'avtel ha-chasidav, the price is too high. God doesn't want us to die. As the way that Melvin puts it, that this concludes what David started out with in the previous parak, lo ametim yahalleluya, that the dead cannot praise God. V'anachnu v'raka, we do. L'chein ha'mavet shimuto chasidav hu devar yakar b'nei Hashem, that this is far too, the price is too high. If to die, because that if we don't survive, we will not be able to praise Hashem. We won't fulfill our purpose in the world. So Hashem wants us to live. So we don't praise God. We always say hallelujah when we're alive. And that's the God, Hashem wants us to remain alive. That's a good thing. And then it continues with another prayer. Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha, ani avdecha ben ratecha, titachta l'mosei rai. And it is obviously a chiasm here. You know, the parallel here of Ani Abdecha with Ani Abdecha Berotecha. And the Ana Hashem, please God, goes with Pitachta Masara, you have loosened my bounds. The question is, what is he praying for? He doesn't say anything here. Just Ana Hashem, please God. In the beginning of the parak, we have the Ana Hashem Maltanashi, please God, save my soul. which is a prayer. But here, the image is he's offering a karban. He's thanking God for what happened. And then in the middle of that, he says, please, God.
What's the last line?
Pitachta lemosei rai. You have opened or untied my bounds.
My what?
My bounds. That which bound me.
Oh, my bounds. Okay.
The Radak says Ana means thank you. Okay. Ana, this is Radak. Ana means hu be'inyan hoda'a. This way of acknowledging God, lekel is barach, she'asali motova, bavorshu avdo, that did these good things. That's not what the word Ana means. It's a prayer here. See, Alshik reads this and says, you know, this chiasm here, it's an aposiopesis, one of my favorite words. That's where you leave out the end of the expression because of the emotion. That's when you yell at your kids, you go clean up your room or else. And what happens after the else is implied. That's an aposiopesis. And that's what's there. There's an implied feel in here that he's not saying. He's overcome by emotion. He's thanking God for saving his life. He's bringing a carbon. He's diving in front of the tibor. And what is David asking for? What's one thing David asks for? Ana Hashem, I am your servant. That's the request there. That's the Alashich. Klomar, the tiyaker mitzati be'necha, that you saved my life. My death was not worth it. You kept me alive. Harich yamai, and you let me live longer. Ad yivne beit mikdash. That's what the tefillah is. Please, God, let me build the Beit HaMikdash. That's what David is sticking in here. That you've saved me for a purpose. I'm bringing a karban, right? They had karbanot then, they had a mishkan, but not the Beit HaMikdash that David wants to build. So there's something missing in my karban here. It's not what I want. Please, God. He's like, you know, thank you, God. But, and the hint there is because he can call himself Avadecha. There's one point in Shmuel, when David is called Eved Hashem. And that's when he decides he's going to build the Beit Hamikdash. And Shmuel Bet, Perek Zayin, he's brought the Aron to Yerushalayim. He goes to Natan and says, I want to build the Beit Hamikdash. God's in a tent and I'm in his palace of cedar. Natan tells him, you're right, go ahead and build it. This is your chance. This is what you want to do. It's the right time. Then Hashem goes to Natan and says, no, it's not. Ahi belayla hahu, v'idivar Hashem on Natan le'mor, and it's that night. The words God spoke to Natan and said, lech v'amarta el abdida el David. Go speak to my servant David. From Hashem atativni bayit l'shvi, you think that you're going to build a bayit? No, we need to build you a bayit, a dynasty, and your son will build this. That's when David is called Abdi.
But David doesn't know that.
David what?
David doesn't know that that's how God referred to him. And yet he says,
So two answers to that. One is, within the story, it says that Natan told David everything that God had said.
Okay.
That's what it says. It's a long nevuah, and then all it says in terms of what was actually said is Natan told David everything.
Okay.
But he heard that, you know, thus says the Lord, lech amata da'avdi David. And the other side of that is that we're reading this literally. You know, this is written here, having the text in front of us. You know, whether saying it's actually David writing this, as though David is writing it. I don't know who wrote Tehillim. I'm going to treat it as being written by David. Mm-hmm. We can look at it either way.
Although I will assume that. Had the idea that when he wrote Tehillim, he had Ruach HaKodesh.
Yeah, I still would say that he wasn't a Navi, and what does that mean in terms of the words here? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that I would say that yes, he feels himself an Eved Hashem, and I think this is the point where he's referred to that, and whether he knew that literal word or not, I don't know, but that's really what I'm thinking of. So this is, Ana Hashem is David's cri de coeur. A nice French expression, makes me sound educated, right? Cry from the heart. Right? He's offering the Nedarim, the Toda, but it's incomplete. It's how is inadequate. And we'll see the similar thing when it says the next the end of Hallel. It says, An Hashem Oshiana, An Hashem Oshiana. It's the same thing. It's all about how great God is. It's wonderful. I'm saved. And all of a sudden, in the middle, he cries out, An Hashem, please save me. And this Ani Adcha Ben Amatecha, the Midrash says that, you know, that's specifically talking about David, because who is the Ben Amatecha? It says that is a reference to Ruth. When Midrashically expanding the idea of that Yaakov describes the Shor Hamor, so the Ebbe Shevchaz and Shevchazu Ruth. David is the servant of God, the son of Ruth, who is Amatecha. Then Otash and Yichel Yod Giveret Malka, Lavol Chasot Tacha Kveh Shina. That's the one who came in, who was willing to serve God, joined the Jewish people, and joined under the Kveh Shina. So David looks at this connection. The Gemara rather looks at the connection of that David is saying, Ani Abdecha Ben Matecha, as almost something that David had to overcome. Right? That Ruth was a defect in his yichus, his ancestry. There's Rabbah. My yati pitaku mose rai, you have loosened my bounds. My David, the Tekash Barku, Ribarash Olam. Shnei mose rot shayu alai. These two burdens that I had on me. Pitakam, you let them loose so I could overcome them, and they are Rut Hamoviah, who's from Moab, and Nama Hamonit, who's actually Shlomo's wife, who's from Ammon. You saved me from those things, and I still could become king, even though I'm descended from these other nations. I think there's a positive side, and this was Rabbi Orlowick spoke last month, and I'm quoting from memory, but he connected and said that, no, Moshe, Bitakle Moshe Rai is connected to Mesorah, tradition, that was handed down. And so that Bitakle Moshe Rai is, you developed my Mesorah. And I am, I need Avdacha, because I am Ben Amatecha. So he said, I am your servant because I am descended from the Amma, from Rut, and that my love of Hashem comes from Rut's love of Hashem. That's Pitakle Moshe Ra. You've developed the Mesorah. You allowed this to develop from Rut down to me, which were a positive way of looking at it. And then the parak ends that David's goal is, I want to offer my karbonot to you. Lecha is Bakzevak Toda. I'll bring my karbon Toda. Hashem Hashem Akra, call out to God, say my hallel in public. The Derai Hashem Hashalem, Negdan Acholamo, is an exact quote from the previous, couple of psukim beforehand. And then, B'chashro Beit Hashem, what I want to do is, though, in the courtyard of the house of God, Tuch Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim. Now, in David's actual life, it was in the Mishkan and Givon. This is not quite it. I still want to build the Beit Midrash.
So the word Mesorah, I always thought it came from Limsor, like to give over.
Yes, to pass on.
But it's from being bound by tradition.
No. He's making more midrashic interpretation of that. Here he's leading as Mesorah as being tradition.
But maybe Mesorah is tradition because it binds us or something, ties us.
The Moshe Rai bounds is from Yisurim, trouble. It's actually a different word, but you could argue they're related. You know, is the mem part of the Shorish or not?
Oh.
You know, so you have Mesorah and the Yisurim side of it.
Not the same word.
I think it's a different word here. So this is more of a almost a Hasidic reading of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think it's a nice way of putting it together. So you could argue that it's right.
Okay.
But when I end with the point that this where it says Mashiv Hashem, Kosher Hashem, Nidarai Hashem Hashalem, and then continues on at the end, Nidarai Hashem Hashalem, that I will pay back my vows, Negdal Cholamo in public. It makes it clear that we've got these two psukim again, sets up this whole thing as a big chiasmus, which if you listen to Rabbi Forman, you know that's important. That the whole section here is a chiasm. Mashiv Hashem, what do I do for all he did, for all he's done? The answer is going to be at the end, B'chashro Beit Hashem, I'm going to offer my thanks in Yerushalayim. Koshu said, Eshat Shema Shema Kra, I will publicly declare. That corresponds to Mizrahi Lashem Shalem. No, sorry. Okay, the Bashi Lashem is Aliyah. The Kosher Shoah goes to Chasrot. With the right Lashem Shalem, my vows I will go, I will offer, corresponding to the right Lashem Shalem. The Yakar Be'enai Be'enai Hashem of the Chasidav, that God saved me, because He wants me alive. It corresponds to Zevach Toda, offering the Tukama Toda. And then we have the same Ana Hashem. And again, with this implied feel at the middle of this, let me live to see the building of the Beit Hamikdash. That's all David wants from here. And that's the message in here. We're saying Hallel, and we're saying the same thing. We're not bringing a Karban Toda. We're doing the same as Shema Karban, declaring the name of God. In appropriate circumstances, we're lifting the Kol Shusuot. We still can't fulfill the Neder El Hashem HaShalem. We can't fulfill our Neder or bring a Karban and Karban Toda. That's what we still need the Beit Hamikdash for. And that we end up, but we also are praying to end up with B'chastrot Beit Hashem Tochef Yerushalayim, being the courtyards of God in Yerushalayim. Merav Yameinu. So we'll stop here, and we should be able to continue on for next week.
I'm going to press forward on having wine whenever we say Hallel.
Okay, I will, if you get that approved, I'll give you coming to your shul.
Thanks, Danny. Good to see everybody.
Okay.
Next time,
thank you, Danny.